Welcome to Fill Your Fountain, a podcast about noticing the synchronicity of the universe and the life lessons that exist in everything we come in contact with, no matter how big or small. Welcome to Fill Your Fountain. It's been a hot minute. I don't have an excuse other than I get in my own way, and life's a series of spinning plates, and sometimes you drop some plates and you can't just go, that's it, I'm done spinning plates, because you have to keep going. So sometimes you have to wait until just the right moment to pick up that plate again without dropping the other plates. And so that's my excuse, I guess, and I'm sticking to it. I recorded this episode a couple of weeks ago with a friend of mine, Mary Rose, who is amazing, who has a lot of like wisdom and just confidence. And I just really, really admire her. And so I was a little scared asking her, thinking she's going to be like, who is this? And no, she was very like, yes, let's do this. Let's talk about it. And so we talked about body image and movement and just diet culture in the whole sobriety journey. Oftentimes we feel a little bit of a kind of like pressure, you stop drinking, so you expect to like lose a bunch of weight, and sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes I know, for example, sugar was, I had that transfer addiction in the beginning, but we'll talk about it some more. So keep on listening. I hope you enjoy this extra long episode. I could have kept going, honestly, but here you go, Mary Rose, take it away.
My name is Mary Rose, and I'm just sitting down and having a conversation with Tanya today about body image and diet culture and how I'm navigating both of those things as a dedicated person who loves doing Beachbody exercise programs, but is also unlearning a lot of the things that the nutrition programs have instilled in me, especially regarding restriction and portion control.
We're going to talk about, the body image and all of that. And the self-talk is a big one with that.
It is a big one.
Yeah. 15 years ago, I lost a lot of weight. And the thing is that listening to people going like, oh, you look great, you look awesome, you look amazing, like, just actually put me off, because it proved to me that who I was before was not worthy. And so I gained the weight back. And so this time around, it wasn't necessarily that I was trying to lose weight. It was like I was in a self-love mission. So I worked to accept my body first. I worked to love myself. I worked to like, I'm going to do my makeup now. I'm going to love myself just the way I am. I'm going to do all of this just so that I can walk by the mirror and go like, damn, you look good. And not rely on somebody else giving me those compliments. And so with that, it's like I let my guard down and like my body started shifting. I had joined Weight Watchers after I stopped drinking because I felt like there was transfer addiction with sugar. I let myself have the sugar for a while, up until I was ready to let it go. And I did that. But then the diet culture started putting me off and realized I don't need this either. I don't need to be counting and obsessing over what I'm eating and putting into my body, because that's another form of like control and addiction. And that's also mental health that I have to process. So I quit that. And the funny part is that I still kept losing the weight. And I think it's because a lot of it came with the healing and the acceptance. And I stopped holding on to the emotions and to the validation from other people and all of that. And I was saying that this is important to me, because if my weight comes back or fluctuates, which it will, because we're human and we're women and we age and stuff like that happens, I don't want my validation associated to that number on the scale anymore. I just want to be happy as I am. And so I wish I could, when people look at me and they're like, wow, you changed, you look so great, I wish that they knew that part of the story, that it's not diet and exercise. Sometimes it actually comes attached with taking care of you mentally.
That is the hardest part, is that they don't see any of what had to happen on the inside before anything happened on the outside. And I feel like that is kind of part of the diet culture that, you know, the outside is the most superficial part of any transformation. And, you know, my own kind of story with my body image and diet culture really did start like 6 years ago when I started a Beachbody program. And the reason why I started, and this is, I think, really indicative of where my mind was at, was I had been asked several times if I was pregnant from different people. And that can be very triggering. That can be very off-putting. And my cousin, who had just had a baby like 5 months earlier, I was watching her baby while she went and did a run, just like a local 5K. And she came back and got her baby from me. And some stranger saw her holding her baby. And they're like, "Oh my God, you look great. Is that your baby? Like, I cannot believe that you had a baby 5 months ago." And the very vain part of me was like, I want to get compliments from strangers like that. So, I mean, what started me was very much like, I mean, I admit that it's not anything I'm ashamed of. That's part of my story. So it's like important to say, like, this is what kind of triggered me. It wasn't like I wanted to feel better or anything. No, I wanted to look better because I wanted to be complimented. So there's like I have to be really honest about that it's not as altruistic or anything as I would like it to be. But I started doing like Beachbody programs in 2016. And a lot of it was, I will say, like, I've had to learn things and unlearn things. Like, this is the constant process of my own experiences. I learned a lot about how I wasn't feeding myself. And then so that was like a good basis for, wow, I really need to eat a lot more food. Like, it was very much like, I need to eat a lot more than what I was eating. So there was a good side to that, but it was very much here's the approved foods and here's the containers, which, like, the portion portion control is, again, a form of control, but it was still like, I didn't know how much my body was being like constantly restricted by just not eating much. And it wasn't because I was trying to maintain any weight. It was just, I really just didn't feed myself very well. So I started exercising, and that's really like the whole goal of what I was going to talk to you about, was like the body image piece that comes from kind of releasing that control over food, but still maintaining this desire to keep moving and like my motivation to keep moving. So like exercise, I always kind of thought I hated. I think that that's a big thing about adulthood, is now there's like the jokes about drinking and the jokes about how much exercise sucks. Like we're constantly like making jokes about or how much our body hurts or how much aging sucks. Like, there's like all these tropes to getting older. And at some point, I think it's really interesting how we loved to ride bikes. We loved to do cartwheels. Like, as children, we really loved moving our bodies. And maybe that's not the experience for everyone, because I realized that some people that may have been in a different size body than I was maybe didn't love movement that much. But I mean, it was natural for us to kind of want to move. And at some point we turn that off in ourselves. Like, I don't know if it's being a teenager, you know, I don't know at what point that really turns off, but maybe it is a lot to do with drinking. But adulthood kind of shuts off that I don't have time to exercise because now I have to pay bills. Maybe
that. And as a child, movement looks very different. You know, you're jumping up and down. And what do you hear? Stop jumping. You're fidgeting around and moving your body at school. Stop moving around. You're being stuck at a classroom for like 6 hours at a time instead of being out there, you know. And then now society is a little bit different too, where before I used to ride my bike and I'll come back in the evening when the light posts were like coming off. And, you know, now society's weird and it's made us afraid, and now you don't get to do that. And then families don't even have the time to do that. And when we talk about exercise, we think that it has to look a certain way And it doesn't. The part of the exercise that I did in this whole healing journey was actually feeding my inner child, which was riding my bike, remembering what it was. And then that was my form of meditation, of mindfulness and all of that. And then I realized exercise doesn't have to look like torture. You can dance, that's exercise. You can spin around, that's exercise. You can jump, that's exercise. It doesn't have to be contained by a time limit. It doesn't have to be contained by a certain style. It doesn't have to feel like torture. And we think that in order to get to our goals, that it has to be torturous. And it's the same thing with food. I realized too that the food, when we go on a diet and it's restrictive, it's like we're setting ourselves up for failure. Because anytime that we derail out of it, we're like, oh, we're horrible. I'm never going to learn. And that's the same thing that when we stop drinking and we go with that mentality of all or nothing and like, oh, I fell off the wagon. All the years that I spend, it's like all of a sudden gone. And I think when we love ourselves and give ourselves grace, and that comes with that whole self-love and everything, you realize that you don't have to hold on to all of that. And it's just kind of like, just, you know?
Yeah, you release all the expectations around like what you think everything has to look like or what you really feel like you have to look like in order to do those things. So I feel like that's, Beachbody does have some great programs that have people in the cast that do have bodies that look more similar to mine. And just being at the big event that I was at this last weekend, I saw bodies that looked like mine and that they weren't there. You know, I would hope that they weren't there with the mindset that their bodies weren't good and perfect exactly as they were, whether they had the extra jiggle in their tummy or whether they had cellulite or whether they had, you know, the bingo wings, as I like, you know, all of the different things. And, you know, I think that I lost a lot of weight. Like, so I started at a certain weight. I lost about like 30 pounds roughly. And I felt good, but I was also because I was getting what I wanted. I was getting complimented on my body. And then I think it was probably within the last 6 months or so, I read The Fuck It Diet by Caroline Dooner. And she's great. And I think that really altered my brain. The same way that Quit Like a Woman and Holly Whitaker's work around hip sobriety changed my brain regarding being alcohol free, this changed my brain about the way I was looking at food and the way I was still restricting. And even now, I'm a work in progress. I'm still reminding myself, you know, it is important to eat. Even sometimes when you're not necessarily hungry, it's important to remember that you are fueling your body, whether it's just to go out for the day, but not doing it with like the mindset of punishment or restriction. So like yesterday I had a fudge bar and an ice cream bar. Mm-hmm. And those are those things that it's like, did I need both? No, probably not. But the thing is like, it was hot. Those were cold. I'm good. I still am, you know, kind of bothered sometimes when I hear people talk about like cookies being bad or things like that, because I don't want anyone to ever like assign morality to food and say like, unless the food is filled with microplastics, which good luck finding food that's not filled with microplastics anymore. But as long as you're not eating like steel wool or glass, food is not bad. There is no morality to food. And you know, I feel like there's this, I feel like I'm seeing a shift. I'm hoping that there's a shift away from, I noticed this when I was at the event, is that there wasn't really as much talk about weight loss as health and not equating weight to health. I think that's been the biggest fallacy. That is how the diet industry has made billions upon billions upon billions of dollars, is making it seem like being fat is unhealthy. And that being thin or skinny is somehow healthy. And we can prove, like we can show quantifiable proof that that is not true. But it's so hard because now culturally with diet sodas and, you know, all these different things, that all the 800,000 different diets, I've now gained back almost all of the weight that I had lost initially. And that is something that I've really had to, again, do the mind work and the reframing of that and saying, I'm still moving. I still exercise. I love to lift weights. I love to dance. I found things that I really enjoy doing to move my body. And I do like them to be structured. And I like to know that at the end of a program, you know, I set out to do it and I did it. Like I'm a completionist that way. Not everyone is.
Yeah.
Okay. But it may not take me the exact amount of time. It might take me longer. And I might take a week where I need to take a break, try different things, or else I might just be like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. I never want to do anything that I genuinely hate doing. Like that is never going to be my goal. Is it if I don't like the movement, I'm not going to do it. And so, but you know, getting back all the weight and seeing those changes in my body has been like a constant exercise of reminding myself that it you know, that I still feel as good about myself now as I did when I lost 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. And it's okay too. Like there's really no shame. And if I remind myself that people aren't looking at me in judgment, I feel like that to me is like, we all kind of look at diet culture and the way that we've been taught, and it's constantly having to unlearn it, like constantly having to remind myself when I see a bigger body, there is nothing wrong with that body. When I see a smaller body, there's nothing wrong with that body. It's not my problem. It's not anything for me to judge. And that can be a hard thing. It can be a hard thing for us to unlearn the judgment part of it.
And, you know, I'm going to go backtrack a little bit when you said I'm a completionist. I think that's another thing that all this industry doesn't is that, you know, it puts us all into like this box of like everybody, it's one size fits all, right? With the structure of like the diets and the exercise and all that. And not everybody's like that. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like I found a lot of like release in knowing that I'm never going to obtain a goal. I'm never going to complete it. It's just a practice, an intention. And it's like an ongoing thing every day, kind of like the drinking. Like I'm not going to say I'm going to stop drinking for 20 years. And once I get to the 20 years, what am I going to start drinking again? Like, no, you know, it's just an ongoing practice. And then I realized that if I lost 10 pounds, 20 pounds, then what? It doesn't mean that I can change everything that I've done because I'm going to go back. It's just, I've had to learn to let go of like that. I just have to pick it up again and do it the next day. And if I miss going out and moving my body one day, it's okay. There's the next day. And then there's the next day. And letting go of that just was huge.
I think that that's also like the idea, it really is a pet peeve of mine to see people within the industry of like Beachbody programs saying like their weight goals and wanting to lose an additional, like that really is a big pet. It's always been a pet peeve of mine because I have never set a weight goal for myself in the last 6 years. I just naturally let my body kind of do what it was going to do with no, like, if I don't get there, then I'm going to keep going until I get there. But, you know, within like the structure of the programs that I've done, I did one that's 100 workouts, and it's, you get to do it in whatever capacity you want to do it. It can take you, I started around, I don't even remember, like months ago, and I've tracked how many I've done, but I'm in no hurry to get back to it because in the meantime, there have been other things that have been introduced, things that I've enjoyed doing. And I'll go back and redo something. If I love it enough, if I love the program, I'll redo that program more than once. But I just like, you know, I like that I can take time off if I want to. And I never feel like, I'm always a big fan of like, if I have to fart or poop or any of those things while I'm in the middle of a workout, I like doing it at home. So I just can pause it. And frankly, sometimes just stop doing a workout midway through and just not finish it. I mean, I don't do that as much right now, but I feel like there's so much, you can't, you feel pressure to not walk out of a workout class that you go to. Like, how many people just get up in the middle of a spin class and leave because they don't want to be there anymore? No, they feel the pressure to have to stay because what will people think if they get off their bike and just leave in the middle of the spin class just because they're not enjoying it?
And it's okay because it won't be the end of the world, because basically it's like with the theater, right? If you go there in the middle of the stage and then you forget your line, you're gonna have to improv, you know.
You will.
And it's not the end of the world. The life show goes on.
Exactly. I was just in a Shakespeare play, and when people were worried that they weren't gonna remember their lines, I'm like, you just throw some doths in there and some thyselves, and everyone's there to support each other. Like, if you're on stage, you're going to have people. And that's what I will say. I love community, and I love making a community with people that is all about saying, do whatever works for you. And if that means not doing anything, if your body is inflamed, if it hurts, you know, I feel like that was another part of the book that I liked, is that, you know, our health is more impacted by doing things that we want to do that are good for us, like going for a walk rather than only eating one salad a day. You know, that, like, this idea that, like you were saying, it has to look a certain way. And it's like, no, it doesn't have to look a certain way, but we will be more consistent about doing things that are good for our own bodies when they feel good to us and we find something that feels good to us.
And when we love ourselves enough to do them. So that's what comes along with the self-love, because, you know, for example, cookies aren't bad, but I love myself enough to, if I want to eat the entire box, I sit there and look, you know, is this gonna make me happy? Probably not. I'm gonna sit with that for a minute, but like, how many of them will make me happy? Okay, couple of them. And then sitting there and actually being mindful and present and in the moment and going like, oh man, this brings me back to my childhood. This feels really good. This was satisfying. And then that's it. And I think we also do a lot of like, I'm going to put a Band-Aid, kind of like with the alcohol. Mm-hmm. Because with the alcohol, it got to the point too where I wasn't enjoying it anymore. It wasn't fun anymore. But I did it because it was like a Band-Aid on other emotions and other things. And I think a lot of that happens with food as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when having the cookies and stuff, it's like, your body's going to tell you the next day, ooh, that was maybe a few too many cookies. Like, I always know that my tummy will tell me if it's not really loving how much sugar I gave it. That, you know, I can tell usually in the bathroom, there's something happening that will tell me, like yesterday might've been a little bit more than was necessary for you. From your digestive tract standpoint, like, and I feel like that's the thing, is like, the more that we actually do pay attention to that and notice it and be like, you know, not do, should I have these cookies, but like, will the same, you know, it's that whole repeating the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. Like,
yeah.
If we eat that many cookies and we have the tummy trouble the next day, you know, it only takes us a few times of not wanting to have diarrhea the next day to say, okay, maybe I need to lay off having all of these cookies. And I've had that several times where I'll be like, oh, you know, it seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, putting fudge on a brownie sundae with ice cream. And then the next day I'm like, it didn't feel great. Will it mean that I won't have another fudge brownie sundae? Probably not. I mean, maybe not for a while. Maybe I'll just have a brownie. Oh God, when we make brownies in our house, it is like, it's hard because we are just constantly like shaving off pieces of brownie and eating. And like, the four of us can clean up a big pan of brownies like in a day, because we love them so much. It's so hard not to. And so the thing that I've also found is not that that I won't have brownies, but it's like, I won't make brownies as often. Like, that's the other thing too, is understanding, like, there's a lot of, I feel like when people talk about willpower and self-control, it's like, I don't have to exert so much self-control over things if they're just not readily available to me. It's kind of the same idea of not having alcohol in the house if you don't want to drink the alcohol until you don't have that taste for it anymore. But I will say I've had chocolate chips in my freezer now for like maybe just a couple handfuls. And my kids make fun of me about my addiction to chocolate chips because I'll buy a bag with no intention of baking with them. I just like to eat them, like a palmful here, a palmful there. And I've really had to get after them and saying, no, I'm not addicted. I enjoy them. I enjoy them as a treat.
That's me with my, like, have you ever had the dark chocolate Trader Joe's peanut butter cups?
We don't have a Trader Joe's in Montana. Like, not a single solitary flipping one. It drives me crazy. I love Trader Joe's. I love their, like,
peanut butter.
Of course, I love
might have to ship you some because that's like my thing. You have, and then I don't know if you like tea, but if you have like a good chai tea or something and you pop one of those in your mouth, heaven.
Ooh, I like their honey mints, those honey chocolate mints that they have. That those are also really delightful. And my husband recently, we were at something and there was like peanut butter, you know, the pretzels that have peanut butter in them, the peanut butter pretzels. He would put one in his mouth and a blackberry from like this little fruit tray that they had out. And it was like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, oh, it was like, I know. I was like, oh, that's kind of a fun, like, flavor combo that you would never think to put together is a piece of fruit and a peanut butter pretzel.
I'm into that. Like, I know a lot of people I know that don't like mixing food or I'm all about the different textures and the different.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I love a little crunch and a little like, oh, we got tahine. Mm-hmm. And some mango because we put it on watermelon. And then I'm like, I think I've had it. If I haven't had it on mango. So we got some mango that was already cut up because I didn't want to mess with mango. And we were all eating it today. My kids were like, yeah, it's good. But I think I'm going to probably be the one polishing that off. And I just love how tahine, we were talking about this yesterday. It's like, it's not really like too spicy. It's more like, you know, those little firework things that you throw on the sidewalk.
It's like a pop of
it's
flavor.
Like that on your top. It's just like a little pop of heat.
Yeah. Those mango sherbet with a little bit of tahini on top.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds pretty flippin' delicious.
See,
no,
food is not bad. Food is
meant
to be enjoyed.
And yeah, I think and I really will say like that book, The Fuck It Diet, is incredible because she really starts out with a lot of like the facts around how much restriction has been built into us culturally from the diet culture perspective is like this idea. And I feel like the food pyramid, all of these things are, you know, we're somewhat designed to sell more specific kinds of foods. So
yeah.
Like saying, you know, and it is kind of wild to me to see what came out of that and how people, I'm always looking at what people are buying at the grocery store and seeing how a lot of those skills to be able to take an ingredient and turn it into something have seemingly kind of gone away because we have so many prepared boxes. Like I wouldn't say I've never had Hamburger Helper, but now I like to actually buy elbow macaroni and do my own seasoning mix. I make my own taco seasoning. And that's not a morality like, oh, that stuff's bad because it has the chemicals inside of it. I just think that we've lost some of those skills of being able to say, if I have ingredients, I can make things in case I don't have a box of Hamburger Helper.
Exactly. I was going to get to that. That nowadays, the way that the prices are going and everything, like it feels like getting the Hamburger Helper used to be the cheap way to go. And now it's becoming kind of like that's kind of overpriced. And then you can go to a food pantry. They're going to give you the elbow macaroni and they're going to give mm-hmm. you a pound of ground beef. And so we got to go back to like learning how to do these things for scratch in order to survive if you're, if you need the help.
And you know, I'm not anti-plant-based. I think that there's a lot of benefit to having a variety of different things. I'm in Montana, so I am very much part of a meat-eating ecosystem here. And, you know, but there is a lot of hunting. There's a lot of people that they'll get an elk. They'll hunt their own elk and then have that in their freezer and eat the meat that they've hunted themselves for, you know, a season. But I do think it's been really interesting to see how people will watch like a documentary and be like, oh, you know, plant, you know, meat industry is killing the planet. And then we go the opposite direction where it's now there's so many plant-based things. And I'm like, but how is that affecting the soil? Like, there's always going to be this, we have to be able to look at it from the balanced perspective of, you know, there has to be a little bit more like willingness to look at those things, not just from like the preconceived conception. And maybe I have my own preconceived conception that the meat industry isn't as bad because I love to eat meat. What can I say? I think it has been really interesting to be like, oh, you know, I think about that because we have farms that are being decimated, and farming really isn't going to be, I feel like, a viable career for the idea of like a farmer doing that work now seems less and less, and it's more like factory farms, like the idea that there's no longer like an individual who's doing the farming so much as it's maybe and I'm sitting here watching my daughter, she's like playing Minecraft and she is planting crop after crop after crop and then collecting them all, and it's just so interesting. It's like the most kids will know about farming is farming in Minecraft.
For me, it used to be Harvest Moon. I used to love
for me it was like Farmville on Facebook back when Facebook games were the big.
Yes. And then like having oh my gosh, how stressed I would get with like not getting my plants, and
I gotta go collect all my stuff, and like you'd have to go water somebody else's stuff. Yes. So you had your friends, you go water their plant. And even now, I'm kind of like, oh, I kind of want to play.
Much simpler times.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've learned a lot in like the last, I'd even say like last 6 months, about how I want to feel in my body. And also like with raising kids, it's how they hear us. I'm glad that they've always seen me exercising and that I don't abuse exercise. I think that's also one thing that we could probably touch on, is like this idea that it can be very easy, I think, for people to start exercising, and then when they see it changing their body, like doing more and more and more of it. And I've never really been that person, because I feel like once I get a good 20, 30, and right now like 45 minutes in, which my 45 minute workouts right now are literally like 10 minutes of stretching at the beginning, a few minutes of cool down at the end, and then like lots of pauses. Like the whole thing is you do something and then you take a break, and then you do something and take a break. So it's like 45 minutes is not balls to the wall, constant movement. But I have a hard time wanting to do anything but just one. And even that one a day sometimes is, you know, like something that I'm like, well, I'm committed to doing this for myself, and I hold that commitment in high esteem. And it's not about if I need to take a break. Like when I twisted my ankle, I'm like, you know, if I need to take a break, I'm going to take a break. Mm-hmm. That's just the way that it's going to be. I just was very fortunate that icing it and wrapping it and staying off of it made it so that I basically didn't even really feel like I had twisted my ankle within a couple of days, which I attribute to the strength that I've built up in my joints and my ligaments and everything, not just muscles, but all those connective tissues that run between my muscle and my bones and bone to bone. They get stronger even when my belly looks like it's gotten softer.
And we got to give ourselves credit too for the stuff that's not necessarily dedicated like time to exercise, because sometimes we're squatting down to pick things up. We're taking off the stairs. We're doing, you know, we're walking to the grocery store. We park a little bit extra, like all of those things count too.
No, they do. And I feel like I sometimes have to just count the water in my coffee towards, I don't really even have like a water bowl right now, but I'm like, I drank water. It had coffee in it too. Sometimes I think that we don't give ourselves that credit because it doesn't, again, look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a big believer in, I like knowing when I've given my body something that I know is nourishing it. So like today I did have like a shake that had fruit and vegetable in it because I'm like, oh gosh. And even tonight I had zero vegetables with my dinner, zero vegetables. It was pasta and chicken and Alfredo sauce, and it was delicious. But I'm not running down to go steam up a bag of broccoli or anything. I'm just going to eat this. I'm going to eat a second bowl of it because I ate some before we got on this Zoom. And I'm going to call it good because I don't necessarily have to beat myself up over not having a lot of vegetables today because I know I had at least one. I had one. And that
doesn't
good.
Have to be like XYZ in the same dinner. You know, maybe tomorrow your body craves a salad and that's what you have. You
yep.
know,
and I like to saute some spinach in the morning when I make eggs and when I feel like cooking. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes my desire to cook when it's been so hot, my desire to cook has been off. So
mine's been gone.
I got a big Napa cabbage at the store today because I found this really great recipe for like a Napa cabbage salad with an Asian inspired dressing. And like I take Ooh. Ramen and almonds and toast them in the oven with a little, I think there's a little bit of seasoning on those. And they get like broken up ramen. You just take the ramen noodles and break them up and they get like crunchy so that you can put them on the salad. And so I already know, like I have vegetables I look forward to eating, even just baby carrots. I love baby carrots. And they're like, I'm, you know, the oral fixation that we have sometimes mm-hmm. of, I don't mind just shoveling carrot after carrot into my mouth if I'm going to mindlessly do. And when you talk
with the hummus.
Oh yeah. And peanut butter. If you've never tried, baby carrots with peanut butter, my friend Amanda Joy eats that. And I'm always like amazed because I'd never thought of that combination before. And it's really, really good. But you had said something and I'm trying to remember what it was. Cause I was like, oh, that's such a good, it was such a good, I can't remember what it was. Like Allie said, like, give me 12 minutes and I'll probably remember. Gone.
I do want the recipe for the Napa cabbage salad though, because I'm telling you, the texture, it's like my thing. And yeah,
I remember when you, okay, it was the compulsion to eat. And so much of the time that I eat, and I have to recognize this, is I am distracted. I'm usually looking at my phone and I'm not sitting quietly with mindfulness and thinking about what I'm eating. And that's sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But I feel like, especially because my body does know, okay, you have eaten enough. Like I don't really ever sit and gorge myself on cookies. If anything, I gorge myself on other things. Sunflower seeds. Oh, I love sunflower seeds. And I don't buy them very often because I will eat myself to a canker sore. I will just sit and eat and eat and eat. And I know I don't like canker sores. So I've had to be like, okay, you love sunflower seeds, but you also don't love the shells. And I inevitably always get shells all over the place from how I eat them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I just have to remind myself, like, yes, I can have that. I can have sunflower seeds if I want them, but do I also want a canker sore?
Nah.
No.
Well, it was really, really nice having this conversation with you. I'm going to stop.
Instagram, I share a lot of my workouts just so that people can see what a body like mine is capable of doing, even though it's not 30 pounds lighter than it used to be.
Thank you. I'm going to stop. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I have found that I just really prefer doing episodes with guests in it, and it's not just me talking unscripted or even scripted. That's kind of a pain. So I'm not sure if we will continue having them weekly for now, but I do want to continue getting guests and having conversations and keep on practicing. This is kind of a raw podcast. It's not professional. I've never done them before this, but I'm learning along the way, and I'm very, very grateful that you're here for the ride. All right. See you until next time. Subscribe if you want to, you know,
find out when that is.